This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Greg. 9 o'clock, I won't say straight up, but just after 9 o'clock on this 21st day of November. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
And a nice big bear hug to those of you fine folks listening to us in Stockbridge.
Wonderful Stockbridge, home of the Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful Stockbridge, Georgia. Why? What else you want me to say?
No, I didn't Stockbridge. Hear what you're saying because
home Garrett, of the Tigers.
Garrett was jumping in. He was doing a little show for the song we were doing.
Okay.
Because he's playing Warrior right now. But
Ray Parker Jr. You ever see him in concert?
Ray Parker Jr. No, yeah. I met him though.
I saw him in concert one time.
How was he?
Looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there.
Was it in? Where was it?
I think it was at the Omni, but I mean, okay. He looked like he's a studio musician.
Yeah.
He's a studio musician that ended up getting a hit record and ended up getting out there. And so being on stage
and
out
got
front
sued for stealing it.
Wasn't his thing. Wasn't his thing. And what am I talking about? Just Ghostbusters. He was, before Ghostbusters, he was performing a group called Radio, Ray Parker and Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And he, you know, toured some. And his thing was a sessions guy. I mean, as a teenager, he was doing sessions with Stevie Wonder and people like a local musician that was playing up in with Motown, Hamilton Bohannon, a drummer. And they kind of took Ray Parker in and promised his parents that they would keep him away from any of the bad stuff, you know, on the road that you would entertainers, drugs, or alcohol or whatnot. He's a kid. But you know, he promised his parents, we're going to keep him away from all that. We're going to take good care of him. We want him to come on tour with us. And so he's a background guy, in the background. So he's happy back there. But then he made some songs. They threw him out front. They said, the guy looks great. Put him out there. And he's on stage and doing some stuff. And, you know when somebody – you can tell when somebody's on stage, they're comfortable and they love it. And they work the stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can tell when somebody's out there and they're like, you know, I'm out here because y'all told me I need to be out here. You know, think of this song. I got a hit record and the record company says – I think he was on Arista. The Arista folks said I need to be out here singing to y'all, so I'm out here singing to you. But – you know, I'd much rather be in the background with somebody else up front.
And now you know the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey. They gave you stand
you just
by.
Went down, you
stand
just went by. Down that whole thing. Ray Parker Jr. gave us the whole backdrop.
Stand by for news.
Golly.
Brought to you by the Schwinn Air Dye.
All right, listen, I got a couple pieces of business I got to clean up here as you go down that one.
Well, you brought Paul Harvey out.
I was, because I just mentioned
the
song, and then you gave us the whole biography on Ray Parker Jr., and so I just figured that's what you do when you get all the rest of it.
You know what the news is.
Yeah, okay.
In a minute, you're going to hear. Go ahead, man.
The rest of the story, yes. On this 21st day of November, a day Garrett, that I forgot
Garrett,
to mention.
Garrett can't believe it. Garrett said, I'm working with these old coots.
Yeah, that's okay, but he's not part of the audience. He wouldn't be up right now if he wasn't working for us. We're talking to the folks that are up. Exactly. He was doing it because of Ghostbusters, and we talked about the movie being out there, and this is Harold Ramis' birthday. Also, would have been Stan Musial's birthday. We got some Hall of Famers,
Stan the man.
On his birthday, Griffey and Troy Aikman, I mentioned earlier, Cornbread Maxwell, Michael Strahan. It's his birthday. Man,
really?
Harold Ramis. Goldie Hawn. I know she made you feel a certain way back in the day.
Yeah,
Goldie Hawn. But here's one, and this we just end it with this. Do you know whose birthday it is today? Was introduced to America Tweety Bird. The first time Tweety Bird appeared was on this date 78 years ago.
Throw that to a putty chat?
79, excuse me. 79
that,
years ago.
That Tweety Bird?
Yeah. I ain't a fan of Tweety Bird.
Throw that to a putty chat.
Ain't a fan of them. All right, that's one thing.
I did. Okay, go ahead.
To your question about the Queen.
Yeah.
A guy, and I want to make sure I get this right on Twitter, hit us back and... what was it? Lucas. Thank you, Lucas.
He knows what's in the purse?
Well, it's not so much what's in the purse. There's a reason she carries the handbag. There's a reason the Queen, because he don't need to carry it, right? She ain't carrying no car keys, right? It has been revealed that the Queen has a secret handbag code for getting out of tricky situations. In other words, from verbose people. When Queen Elizabeth is finished talking to a guest, all she has to do is move her handbag from one arm to the other. This signals to her aides, who come in and end the conversation. I did not know that.
Wow.
If the conversation is particularly awkward, all she has to do is put the bag on the ground or spin her wedding ring. This signal would get the prompt intervention from her aides.
Never knew that.
I didn't know it either.
Did not know that.
Lucas, thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Wow. Was that in the movie?
I don't know. I don't think I saw the movie.
That may have been in the movie.
Might have been. But she got to have a signal. You got to figure. You know what? It makes sense. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
Because she can't turn around and go, hey, you know.
And some people will come over and be kind and say a few words and then move on. And then somebody's going, well, you know, some people just don't know when to, you know, when they
and
get.
Listen, you know that there over the years there have been people, depending on the time of day when this meeting took place, like if it was before a movie premiere, that's usually in the evening, and folks knew they got to meet the Queen that night. They had a couple drinks beforehand. They stopped by the pub and had themselves some bangers and mash and ate yourself a pint. And they got a buzz going when they meet the Queen and won't shut up.
You think the people do that? Would you get?
I'm saying over the years, I'm sure that's happened a few times.
People get drunk when they go meet the Queen.
They get talkative. You figure if you only get one shot at this, you're gonna say everything you want to say because you ain't coming. You ain't gonna be invited back. You know.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you something.
What's that?
There was a part in King Richard, the Queen was in it. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I can get that.
All right. Listen, we are, as we get into this 9 o'clock hour, talking NFL, obviously talking about the Falcons and a team that's looking to score their first touchdown since November 7th. It's the 21st.
Yeah.
They haven't scored in a while, and I don't know how to even start to describe what we're looking at when we look at this team. We thought for a minute that they had turned some things around. They had a little possible four-game winning streak a little while ago.
Yeah.
But the table seemed to have turned in a way that has been
but you know what,
embarrassing.
Greg? You know what, Greg? And yeah, those defeats were demoralizing. But I reminded some of my friends who were about to jump off the top of the Westin Hotel, you know, Thursday night after what happened. I said, look, just think about it. The majority of the teams in the NFL have 5 wins or less. The majority have 5 wins or less. We got 4, so I mean that's I mean it didn't. The way they lost is the thing that hurts. But those are 2 of the better teams in the league, and I think I hope everybody realized coming into this season, we didn't have the manpower or the talent to be among the better teams in the league. That wasn't there from the start. Now could the coaches coach them up, and could what's there stay healthy and get better? That is what we hoped. But we knew from the minute Julio Jones left that, you know, something else was happening with this team. We're going a different direction. So for people who want to say, well, they misled us or whatever, no. You knew what the deal was with this team. They done things to give us hope in games that they won and games that they could have won early on, because there are a couple of games they left out there that he could have won as well. So that this team could be a 6-win team right now. And should be. But they got 4 wins. The thing of it is, they got some extra time here to get some folks in place and get some folks healthy before they take on this next team. And the next team is Jacksonville, a team they should beat. So if this team goes out and beats the folks they ought to beat, the season turns out a lot better than some people think that it looks like it's going to be right now. So, I mean, that's my take on it, and that's the way I've seen this team from the first day. Were they going to be Super Bowl contenders? No, I didn't think so. but could they still compete for a backdoor playoff spot? And yeah, it's still there. It's still there if they beat the people they're supposed to beat.
I don't see it, but I'm not saying if they beat them.
They're not an eight win team. They're only 3 8-win teams in the league right now. There are no 9-win teams, no 10-win teams. So everybody's kind of like just in that pack.
Yeah, but wins aside, Sam, give it that. This is what we do more than a lot of other folks. A lot of folks will give you the stats. They'll give it, I mean, like 7-5 wins. We don't do that as much as others, and I definitely don't do it. So I'm going to ask you this from my chair in the barbershop. What about this Falcons team, regardless of those games they were supposed to win, or the makeup of this team presently? And I'll tell you what, I'll wait for Calvin Ridley to come back and have him at full strength on this team. Does this team still look like a playoff caliber team that can ascend through the playoffs?
Well, no.
All right, then.
But to me, they never were that.
But you were saying earlier that they have the possibility.
But because they got 4 wins and everybody else has 5 or less.
Again.
I'm just saying they're right there with everybody else. I mean, the Bears right now, the Bears play the Ravens. The Bears got 3 wins.
And they don't look like a team. And they absolutely don't look like a playoff team.
Texas is 1-8. You know, we're going to watch the toothless cat on Thursday. They're 0-8. And we got the Lions on our schedule.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm just saying, you know, you may say, well, it doesn't look good and that type thing. But, you know, all things considered, it beat the teams in front of you that you're supposed to beat.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Let's stay in the division for a second.
Yeah.
If we look at the other three teams we're looking up at, we don't know, but there's a possibility that Carolina could be rejuvenated given Cam's return and what we've seen so far. And if he stays healthy and the excitement he brings, that's a shot in the arm for this particular team, and we don't know where they can go. And, again, they only sit one game behind. Them and New Orleans – both have 5 wins. New Orleans with Jameis is gone. All right.
Right.
But you figure Sean Payton is going to do what Sean Payton does, and they, if not making it to the playoffs, they will just be a nasty matchup for anybody moving forward. Tampa Bay is what it is. So my question to you is this team, I don't even see it having the possibility of climbing over the three in front of them, let alone make it a productive season and possibly put themselves in a wild card position. I don't see that. And again, I'm wondering, and this is what I'm watching moving forward, at least for the next few weeks, what does the team we slept on as we started this season in this division look like? And that's Carolina. That for me now is the watch.
Why?
Because we know what Tampa Bay is. They've lost two, but we know that they're going to come back and they're getting some pieces back, and they will eventually look like what they have been, and that's a playoff team. I'm not saying they're going to win it all again, but they will be a playoff team. I stick by what I said about New Orleans and them being there, and given the captain of that ship, he's going to make the adjustments, and it's not like they don't have talent on that team. And so I don't see any light at the end of this tunnel of players coming back that's going to make this Falcons team jump over somebody, if you will. That's just my looking at it. I'm just like, man, this is not good. And that, I'm sorry, Matt Ryan still looks like, in fact, he looks worse in the pocket than he has. Now, we can talk about the offensive line.
He looked great 3 weeks ago against the Saints.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago. And do you know why?
That's what I'm saying. Is that kind of season, Greg. Is that kind of season in the league. You know what I mean? It is. You know, Miami is 3-7. This is supposed to have been their year. It's supposed to have been a big year for the Dolphins. You know? 3 wins. So I'm just saying, it's that kind of year.
It is a crazy year.
Cowboys are one of the better teams, best teams in the league right now. And I mean, Nui was on with us last week, and he said, you know, they had gotten embarrassed the week before in Denver. Whoever got off the bus last Sunday was going to get it from them. It just happened to be the Falcons.
All right, man. Well, again, we will let's let the events of this past week and that game and that shutout – Just give me some scores. Give me some first quarter scoring, not field goals. Give me some touchdowns. Let me see that first in some first quarters, and then hold the defense under, say, I don't know, 25. Then I feel like the Falcons have a chance. They get over 20, they keep the opponent under 25, usually they have a chance. You'd like to see them keep it lower than that, but I just don't know. I mean, I'm babbling fool when it comes to trying to understand or articulate what I think this team is going to do moving forward. But greater minds than ours will be talking about that, like after we're done here. John Chuckery's going to be coming on at 10 o'clock, and I'm sure he will dissect and give you his opinions on what this Falcon team maybe should do. A little stronger than us. Anyway, up next, we are going to talk about Atlanta United and maybe get his final thoughts on the Braves season. Joe Patrick's going to join us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning. And we say welcome to town once again to all of the Deltas who are in town this week, Greg.
Welcome.
Of course, your dear mom was a member of Delta Sigma Theta.
Yes, she was.
And we greet them to town. Hope they have a wonderful time with their national convention.
Where's that being held at?
All over town. They're all over. I'm sure that I think some things at World Congress Center, but I forget which one of the official hotels. But we can reach out to Dr. Maria Boynton because I'm sure she can tell us where everything's happening with the Delta.
Man.
Yeah.
Man. I'm just thinking of that crowd, what that's like. That takes me back.
Yeah.
That'd make me feel like I was 5 years old being carried to church by my grandmother and her friends and my mother.
Yeah.
And all them tight shoes they be wearing.
Yeah, well, we hope they got some comfortable shoes.
Yeah, comfortable shoes.
But they're here, and people probably know someone who's a Delta that works with them, or a schoolmate, or classmate, or neighbor. And you're right.
If you had to tell them women as a group to go to one place here in Atlanta, where would it be? Not necessarily all dressed up. You got to go see this if you haven't been to Atlanta at least in a long time. Is there a place you and I can direct them toward?
You mean something historic? Or
not
just
historic,
just some place to check out.
Yeah, something to eat, something to see. They're going down to Mercedes-Benz. They're going to get their picture taken by the big Falcon. You know, things like that,
and
locations.
They're going to do things like that, obviously. I mean, probably at some point of the meeting may be at the Georgia World Congress Center.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but some of it may be there. So Centennial Olympic Park is there. Why not get on Skyview? Why not take a ride?
Maybe
a little chilly on that thing today, but you're going to get a nice view of the city, and it's right there, Centennial Park. So why don't you try Skyview if you're there. Or I think it's probably decorated for the holidays. Go to the World of Coke. It's probably all decorated for the holidays. So something to think of while you're here.
Well, maybe our guest would have a place too.
He might. He knows good places. He really does. And he's joining us now on the waitfor.com hotline. The guy who keeps his eye on all things Braves, but also Atlanta United.
We haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah, I got playoffs coming today. Joe Patrick, welcome into the show, Joe. How
good
you
morning,
doing,
Joe?
Man?
I know. It's been too long, guys. Good to be back on. I was trying to think while you were having that discussion of what I would do, of what I would go see. It's funny. I was thinking of when I was a kid. I remember when the school went to the whole Renaissance Festival. My parents were like, you don't need to do that. And then, myself and a couple friends just went around with one of our parents, and we just, toured the city of Atlanta and, did some sightseeing and stuff. We went to a science museum. That's why I always loved Sidetrack. But yeah, maybe the World of Coke. That'd be a fun one.
I did a thing for that once, Sidetrack.
Yeah.
You know, I got two places. Yeah. Years ago, I did a little video for them. As we sit here and talk about them, if somebody from one of the studios are listening, like Tyler Perry, a tour would be beautiful.
Yeah.
Raven Drummer, my girl from over there, or she knows somebody that can make a call to the hotel that all these ladies are staying at, and Tyler Perry open his doors, make sure they all get, I don't know how many days they're going to be here, but, get a little test, and, man, that would be a great tour for them.
Yeah.
Either that or Top Golf.
Top Golf. I think some of them may end up at Tyler Perry's. I don't know if you can get all of them in there, but I'm sure a group of them may end up in there.
Top Golf. Yep.
It's playoff day. We're starting for our Atlanta United, and they're playing at this weird pitch, Yankee Stadium. It's great for baseball. A lot of people, debate having it for soccer, but nevertheless, that's where they're going to play today. Thoughts about going there to play and start the playoffs at this place, Joe?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, first of all, you got to just talk about it. It's very difficult to go to Yankee Stadium and win because it is so weird to play there. And NYCFC, just with that being their home stadium, they've really become accustomed to it where other teams aren't. So if you look back the last 70 times that they've played there, there's only been six teams that have won games, which is pretty incredible. That's a pretty incredible record. Of course, one of those was Atlanta United in 2018 in the MLS Cup playoffs, so it's not like Atlanta United hasn't done it before. But it's just very weird. It's not just there's two issues, guys. One is because they're squeezing a soccer field inside of a baseball stadium, they're having to squeeze the field down. So as opposed to in some other sports like the NBA where you have the same exact size court everywhere, soccer is more like baseball where you can have modified sizes and it changes from place to place. And the size of the pitch inside NYCFC is just very narrow. It's smaller than any pitch you're going to see in MLS, and especially Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is one of the bigger ones. But the other issue about playing Yankee Stadium, which is interesting, Gonzalo Pineda said it feels twisted when you're playing on it. And what he's talking about is just the peripheral vision that you have when you're playing in a stadium where you don't have the normal fans like kind of boxing you in on all sides because you're in this weird dimensions of a baseball stadium. It can mess with your head, and it can mess with like kind of where you sense you are on the field at any given moment. And so those are the things that Atlanta United is going to have to deal with in this game. And again, it's going to be very tough, but they've done it before. So maybe you just hope there's still some good vibes there from when they were able to go out there and get a really impressive win in 2018.
So our own Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Listen, Jose Martinez coming off this knee injury, he hasn't played full minutes this year. Is that going to change now that we're in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that they're kind of – they've been gearing him up to get him ready to go, not wanting to put too much pressure on his knee before that. I think they'll be expecting him to go as long as they need. If they're losing in the game, then, yeah, he will play the entire game. Only way he comes off the field, in my opinion, is if they have a comfortable lead, which we all hope is the case. So I think that he'll be ready. It was really good to see him finally get a goal here in this last game of the season against Cincinnati to kind of get him in some good form, get that good feeling of goal scoring back. And it was a heck of a goal for sure. So I'm sure that everybody will have been pleased to have seen that. But I think that, you know, that's going to be one of the big questions of this playoffs for Atlanta United is whether Jose Martinez can kind of once again be that guy who's going to score the goals and be the leader of this team on the field that can put that scare into defenses that we're so used to seeing. It's been a long road for Joseph, obviously. This season, just in and of itself has been a long road for him, just dealing with so many things, has missed games with injuries, not just with the knee, but some other injuries. But I think that he's probably as healthy as he's felt really since maybe the first month or two of the season. So you just hope that can come up big for him, and he can, you know, put in some of the best performances he's had this year.
We're spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Joe Patrick. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at J.A. Patrick, all lowercase 200, J.A. Patrick 200. Joe, we saw this team morph and change and transition throughout the season. How would you sum it up? I mean, we just watched the Braves team that went through a lot of different things, and finally at the end, it came out right. We saw something similar with this Atlanta United team because of guys being delegated to international play with some injuries, a coaching change. We had a lot of different drama with this squad, but yet here we are, you know, at the starting gate for the postseason. How do you sum up what this team was able to do this season?
Yeah, it is night and day a different team than what we saw at the beginning of the season. I mean, it feels like forever ago that Gabriel Heinze was the coach of this team, and they really struggled under him. And I would say, personally, I did not kind of agree with a lot of the tactics that he was using with this team that I just didn't think was getting the best out of many of the players. And I think that Gonzalo Pineda has clearly come in and been a much, much better fit and understood both the players at his disposal and also the realities of the league. And I think that comes from him just having experience. But, yeah, you're totally right that it is a different team. And it's funny you mentioned the comparison to the Braves, because I was also making that comparison during the season just because I cover both the teams. And it really did feel like there was a lot of kind of similarities between just the ebbs and flows of the season and the way those teams are going. I also got to say, it's kind of funny to me that, you know, you see a lot of athletes now from around Atlanta who anyone who's struggling kind of hopes to channel some of that Braves energy and be maybe we could turn around.
Right.
I think I heard Matt Ryan saying that a couple weeks ago, and it hasn't worked out as well for the Falcons. But, the Atlanta United is clearly in some of the best form of the league in the second half of the season. I mean, if you look at since Rob Valentino took over, only one team has more points per game than Atlanta United in the league. So they've been really impressive. And the key is going to be, can they kind of turn the switch on and get to this next level for the playoffs? Because in the MLS playoffs are so volatile. We see the top teams, the hottest teams, get knocked out immediately all the time. And really what you need to have success in this kind of setting is you got to be able to lock down defensively, not give up any easy goals, and just make life difficult on your opponent. That's what we saw Tata Martino do in 2018. In 2018, he left Ezequiel Barco and Tito Villalba on the bench for that entire playoff. They came off the bench. And so I don't know if we'll see something similar personnel-wise from Gonzalo Pineda, but I do think that he will want to drill in his team. We need to be organized and make sure we don't give up anything defensively first and then pick and choose our moments to go ahead and attack.
I think you guys just said it all, Joe, you and Sam. We need to get some pearls on Grady Jarrett and Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I got to get them a string of pearls. Joe Patrick joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Of course, the match we're talking about, Atlanta United, New York. That pregame starts 2:30, kick at 3, and you can hear that game after John Chuckery, who follows us from 10 until 2:30, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Listen, you mentioned the Braves, and you were right in the mix of all of that with Batter Up, your show on our station, mm-hmm. and we haven't had a chance to talk to you since that all happened. Joe, I can't remember how long you've been in Atlanta, if you've grown up here or you came here at a certain time, if you were around for the other Braves championship. But
I was.
Right, well then compare, because I have my own, but you in the mix working for this one, having just probably been a fan for the other one. Tell us what that was like for you as the lead up to it and then the celebration afterwards.
It was crazy. I'll try not to go too long here because I know you guys are probably coming up on break. We could talk for hours about this. Maybe we should, but, over some beers or something. But, it really struck me when they came back to Atlanta for the play in that World Series. And, you know, there was the stat that was the last time the Braves had won a World Series game in Atlanta was when Tom Glavine threw that masterpiece in Game 6 against the Indians. Like, that's crazy that it was that long since that had happened. At that point, it felt historic to me, and it kind of really set in. And then, of course, they have the great homestand. They almost win the whole thing at home, which would have been incredible. But it was just amazing to watch this team over the course of the year just kind of stick with it. I mean, Charlie Morton in on June 22nd, after one of his starts, was saying, we got to get our – crap together or Alex Anthopoulos is going to have to make tough decisions in terms of trading away pieces because they were trailing so far in the standings. And to go from that point to winning the whole thing, I mean, there's just nothing better. And it's so funny having just recently seen, you know, the award season happen in baseball where you're like, you know, fan bases are arguing whether this guy or that guy should have won the MVP or something. And it all just feels so trivial, you know, when your team just won the World Series.
Exactly.
Like, okay, you can have all those awards because we got the one that everybody wants. So it's been an awesome experience.
Sam says that we did get an award, though, Ozzie.
The Heart and Hustle.
That's right. The Heart and Hustle Award, yeah. So good for Ozzie. He deserves that.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, man, listen, thank you again. It was way too long since we've talked to you, and as long as Atlanta United is breathing here during these playoffs, we're going to maybe reach back out to you. We thank you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, you and your family, and appreciate you coming on with us.
Hey, thanks. You guys, too. Thanks for having me on. I always appreciate talking to you guys. It's always fun.
Absolutely. That's Joe Patrick joining Sam McGregor here. We're going to put a wrap on this show, talk about today's matchups and some things that we haven't, and also put a wrap on the poll question today. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, also on the Odyssey app. It's Van Halen on the Dark Side. See, I told you, Sam, it just slips out once in a while. It just comes out there. Yeah. Let's put a wrap on a couple things before we get out of here and turn things over to John Chuckery, who's going to be on from 10 until 2:30. Our poll question today was, as we approach Thanksgiving, if the NFL were to make some changes to the games that they play on that day, we know that we're going to see the Cowboys. We know we're going to see the Lions. You can feel about that however you want. But we now know that there's a third game that ain't going no place. Okay? And some of the folks said they should get rid of that third game, but they are not going to like let money go down the drain. So it's going to be here. It's here to stay. So the question is, of these three, what would you like to see happen or other? Make the third game a permanent location, much like the Dallas and Detroit games. Rotate them all every year. New teams, new locations, every Thanksgiving. Or guarantee that the Super Bowl, in one of the games, the Super Bowl champion will be playing. At 92.9 The Game was where the poll was up, and I guess we got to put a bow on it right now with Garrett. Could you give us a final tally, please?
Yes, absolutely. So, not much change here from the last time I updated it. Make third team permanent, 6% of the vote. That's coming in final, or last. Other at 11%. Super Bowl champion plays, which, again, I think is a very creative thing. I mean, I like that. I know we kind of, like, threw that in there at the end, but I think that's a very creative option. But that's in third or in second place, 20% of the vote. And rotate all of the teams. That came in at first, 63%. So overwhelmingly, people are not fans of the Detroit Lions.
See, it's always funny to me when you guys.
It's the cold pumpkin pie, man. It's the cold pumpkin pie.
Here's the thing, though. The crazy part about that particular argument is there are more outwardly hating Cowboy fans than any other team, and yet you guys feel
tune
this
in,
is all
about
the
in
Lions.
The
see, but we're used to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we can hate on the Dallas Cowboys 365 days a year, and I think everyone's on board. The one day a year that we get to hate on the Detroit Lions is Thanksgiving, when they chain us to the chairs and make us watch it.
You know? Chain you to the chairs. Listen, you're watching for the opponent. That's what you know what you're doing.
That's when we play turkey bowl. No, that's when
you play turkey bowl. You go get dinner. Go get dinner, you know?
That's when you're cooking and all of that, man. But again, it was about the opponents. It was about the opponents the Lions played. Again, I just threw that because it ain't about the Lions.
No, it's not.
And the Cowboys have stuck too for years too. Yeah, but yet you don't get the same vitriol toward them as you do the
because Detroit. They've done something. They've won. They have been winners. They've been a very successful franchise, and they win. And this year they are a winning team.
Let me ask you a question.
I mean, then again, the nicest thing we can say about the Detroit Lions is that they wasted two Hall of Fame careers, Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders.
Yeah,
I mean,
how about that?
That's probably the nicest thing that we can say about them.
Wow.
Yeah, we got something else about how they let Matthew Stafford tap dance out of town, and there's other people trying to get out of their situations, and they end up walking into traffic. You know, but they just say, hey, Matt, you want to leave? Matthew, sure. Okay, go ahead. Go to the Rams.
Well, after playing there, he deserves it, man. He does.
What do you mean deserves?
He deserves to play somewhere.
He deserves. So Aaron Rodgers doesn't deserve to get out of Green Bay because he won him a Super Bowl.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, see, this is personal.
Why?
Because if you're saying Matthew Stafford can get out.
He's enjoyed some success. He's enjoyed some success.
So he got to stay there?
He's been in an environment. Well, he's been in an environment where he's had success.
There's people who've been beat up by their team and being out there forever, and they don't get a pass and a nice Amtrak ticket out of town. I got no problem. I like me some Matthew Stafford. I told you when it happened, I'm looking forward to him being with this Rams.
Right.
This is a guy I enjoyed watching that whole Georgia Tech connection when Calvin Johnson was there. Enjoyed that. Got no problem with Matthew Stafford. It was the fact that there are a lot bigger names or equally big names that have tried to get out of their situation and haven't. Or if they had to jump through all kinds of hoops. Yep. And yet he was like, it was like a coronation.
Yeah.
You know?
But same for J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt said, you know what?
That's another nice argument. You can ask them an argument. Yeah.
You know?
Well, he's been injured. He every time you turn around, you know, he's on the DL. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, guys get to move. It's not like the NBA where guys can do that. We accept that for the NBA. Guys say, you know, I want to play with these guys. And it moves around. It happens every year.
You know, we mentioned earlier that it was Troy Aikman's birthday, speaking to the Cowboys. And you see Troy, of course, regularly. You see Michael Irvin regularly. How come you don't see Emmitt that much?
Emmitt got other stuff to do. Emmitt is making money.
What's he doing, man?
And Emmitt is also a degree owner. He's invested in NASCAR. during this year. So, I mean, he's invested in the team, I think, in the Xfinity level. And
he's keeping a low profile. That's what he likes.
Emmitt's doing very well for himself.
We'd have to have a telethon for him. No. I just ain't seen him since he did Hammer on Dancing with the Stars.
He's doing fine. You know what? I got a text from Big Hugh Douglas, our co-worker here, and our good friend.
Shout out to Hugh.
And he said, Ray Parker was terrible. You know, we talked about Ray Parker in concert. Yeah. It looked like he wanted to be anywhere but out there on the stage. Yeah, and Big Hugh said,
Ray Parker was terrible. And didn't he get sued for stealing that song? Or somebody got sued for? I thought it was him. Might be somebody else, but
I don't know.
That's the one that pops into my mind there. But yeah, a concert. It had to be a bunch of people there. It could have been just him.
Well, no, he wasn't the headliner. He was like, I think it was the last Commodores tour. It was the last Commodores tour before those guys, before Lionel went to play the Baby Grand beat piano and break from the band. I think that's when it was, and he came on stage before the Commodores.
Okay, all right.
But there he is. He's here, folks.
You coming in?
No, we got John Chuckery, who's the Fighting Chuckeries have advanced to the quarterfinals of the state playoffs. Talking about the Roswell Hornets, he is thrilled about that. But what is it?
No, I just heard Greg talking. Greg, you were talking about Ray Parker. Yes, he was famously sued by Huey Lewis for Ghostbusters.
There you go. Okay. Yeah.
So the song Ghostbusters, the reason they were sued is Huey Lewis sued him and won, by the way, because they claimed it was a sped-up version of I Want a New Drug. They claimed it was the same beat and music, everything just kind of sped up.
Yeah.
And Ray Parker denied it, but he was famously sued. In fact, for like decades, they had to keep it secret. That was part of the deal, was they had to keep the lawsuit secret.
Really?
But yes, he was famously sued by Huey Lewis for the song Ghostbusters.
Then you would get some money from that?
Oh yeah, Huey Lewis got paid for it. Yeah. He's not on the writing credits or whatever, but he did get a big settlement. But that was the thing, is that they had to keep it secret for a long time. But now everybody knows that's one of the more famous lawsuits in music. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And Ray Parker's good. Yeah. Ray Parker's good.
He's a good studio musician, but as far as a concert,
I understand. I mean, like, what's the guy's name? Is it who's his sax player? Is it Daniel Lamel or somebody like that? I mean, he's a talented musician.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got some good songs.
Yeah,
but yes,
yeah.
Famously sued by Huey Lewis. So just want to chime in. Thank you, Greg.
Right, no, I didn't know. I knew he was sued. I couldn't remember who it was. Thank you for that for that update, sir.
All right.
And he said Huey Lewis is good. I mean, he said Ray Parker's good. Hugh says he doesn't. He doesn't think he's good, so tune into that show.
Yeah.
that ought to be good. What did Hugh say about you talking about his hair?
I see you want to bring up the man
I've
his
been
hair.
Asking about
I didn't
Hugh's
ask you anything
hair,
about
man.
His hair. I'm not asking about his
I
hair.
I asked you, and you didn't give me a good answer, like something was up with it.
No, it was up with his hair.
I wanted to find out how his hair was coming, man, and you didn't give me like a, hey, looks great. You kind of like food and hot at it. Anyway, we got a full day of sports going on. We got football games going on. Falcons are off, obviously. But as you heard, Mr. Chuckery, he is up next, 10 a.m. until 2:30. We got Atlanta United and New York coming up. Pregame 2:30, kick at 3, followed by Nick Cale at the end of the game. He's going to take you up to 7:30 because we got NFL action tonight. Steelers, Chargers, pregame 7:30, kick at 8:20. And so this, like I said, it is a big weekend. We got Thursday, with this Thanksgiving games, you talk about the Lions and you've been railing on them the whole time. They're taking on the Bears. This is an opportunity and by the way, what's his face? Ain't even playing. Jared Goff. He not even playing for the Lions.
Make it even worse.
Yeah. So who gets a chance to shine today or Thursday?
There is no shining.
Well, okay, beside the turkey. Ed Bears quarterback, who everybody listen. I'm hope what's his face is. I don't even know if he's back. Nagy, the coach of the Bears, but now I'm all of a sudden drawing a blank on his name. Who's our Bears quarterback?
Justin Fields. Yeah.
The country gets a chance to see him in a way they haven't before, and he has been ascending. He has been playing better, but with the Lions limping into that game, this is a chance for him to change the conversation. Don't you think?
It could be, yeah, but people, want to see him take a next step. So some folks may tune in to see how he's doing, what kind of progress he's making. Maybe.
Okay. That's a roaring testimonial out of
well,
you
there. Well, I'm just saying. Other than that, the people are going to go out back and like I said, they're going to play turkey bowl until dinner's done.
When's the last time you played a turkey bowl?
It's been a minute. It's been
college?
A long time.
West Georgia, did y'all play?
No, everybody was gone. We went down to college for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
We were gone Thanksgiving Day.
Were you back? You didn't go out? Yeah. I'm just saying, that's not. I wonder if it's as prevalent as it once was. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. People still do. I think people still do. Mostly families sometimes, I think.
You got in-laws coming, Mr. Crenshaw?
By the way, yeah. So it's pretty cool. So I got house stuff I got to do.
Will somebody please tell me why my fuse keeps popping off when I go to do yard work with the extension cord, and it hasn't before. I even bought another extension cord because I actually had a little bit of fray to us. I thought, maybe that's the reason why.
Okay.
So I got another extension cord. I got a new blower, and for whatever reason, the fuse just whatever. I don't even know if I'm terming this properly. I don't know if it's the fuse or whatever, but it keeps popping.
You got to get the right.
And I got to go back
cord,
to the
man. You got the right.
I've used the same extension it's cord. No. This
nice
is the same.
Ones?
It's a nice one. It's thick. It's a heavy duty, and the only reason I changed it is because I chopped through it when I was using the cutter.
Yeah, you had to watch it. Watch
so
out
I went and bought
that,
a new
right.
one. Went and bought a new one and got a new blower. But for whatever reason, my question is, if it's not the blower or the cord, is there something internal that I got to deal with that's a bigger job
that
makes this thing?
I can't tell you. I got a two-way. I plug mine up. I can blow them all in one spot, then flip the switch the other way and, like, suck them up in the bag. Yeah, dude.
Sounds like the honeymoon night.
I got to do some of that. Those Commodores. Hey, man.
Everybody, have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend. We will be with you Thanksgiving morning Friday.
Yes, we will.
But have yourself a big Sunday. Garrett, thank you very much. I want to thank our guests, Chris Parker, Terrell Thomas, Joe Patrick. I'll be on with Ramon on V103 on Tuesday. Mr. Crenshaw, enjoy the rest of your day.
Will do. You do too. Stay safe.
Everybody have a big day. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Also, take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Yeah. Ooh, that's why I'm easy.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.